We need to remember Judy, making sure, and Pastor Bob. I really don't know what to say. We just need to remember them and pray for them this morning. So in this prayer, let's pray for Bob and Judy as well. Father, as we get to the portion where we look at your word, we're wanting to lift up our former pastor, Bob McEachern, and his beautiful wife, Judy. Lord, she's gone through a rough battle, a hard battle, Lord. She's still in that battle. She has not given up. Lord, they have not given up. But Lord, it's time for us to start lifting her up in earnest to you. And we pray, Lord, this morning for her, Father, for healing, and also for your will to be done with her, Lord. We pray, Father, for strength and encouragement. Father, I know she loves you. You are the very beat of her heart. And we thank you for that. We lift Pastor Bob to you this morning, Lord, for strength and encouragement for him as well. For the entire family, Lord, we pray your blessings upon them. And now, Lord, again, as I open your word that you've shared with me and I share it with these people, I pray, Lord, that we will receive it. What you have to say, Lord, let it apply to our lives and let us take it out and share it with someone else. And for the privilege that stands before me, Lord, I give you praise, honor, and glory. And for everything else we prayed, in Jesus' name, amen. I wrestled with this all the way up, including this morning. Not the message, the messenger. I was standing in the shower and the thoughts came to me. Who do you think you are standing up there? You're just nobody. You really don't qualify as a preacher. You're just trying to fool people. That's the wrestle match I had this morning. So I talked with Diane a little bit about it, and her comment was, well, you must be doing something right if the devil's fighting you about it. So I'm going to come to you this morning from the book of Habakkuk. And I've asked Mara, or as we affectionately call her, Spot, to help me out this morning, and I'll get her involved here in just a little bit. She has no clue. But Habakkuk, how do we live joyfully? Can we live joyfully? How do we do it? Despite everything that's going on in this world, and add to that everything that's going on personally. How do we cope with that? How does Habakkuk say we cope with that? Well, if you're looking at your Bible, Habakkuk chapter 3, I want you to look at verses 17 and 18. Reading from the New King James, Habakkuk writes, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And on into verses 19 he goes, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. And no, I didn't pick it because I hunt deer. And he will make me walk on my high heels. Not shoes, ladies. And it's to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. First, a little bit of background. Habakkuk was a prophet during the time of the Babylonian captivity that was approaching. It was not yet there. He was the prophet that was told, you're going to tell the people they're going into captivity. Now, I can't imagine any prophet, any preacher, any evangelist who wants to give bad news to people. People today want to hear good news. Tickle my ears. Tell me what I want to hear. But Habakkuk's assignment was, you're going to go tell these people, get ready, because you're going into Babylonian captivity. And Habakkuk's going like, well, Lord, I got a couple of questions. Number one is, why are you allowing all this evil to continue? Dieter's laughing because he knows it sounds like today, doesn't it, Dieter? Why is God allowing all this evil? I mean, just this morning on the morning news, breaking news, there's an explosion. I can't remember where it was, New York. 29 people, I believe. And it was deliberate. So Habakkuk says, well, Lord, why? Well, like Dieter said, we could ask that same question. God, why are you allowing this to continue? And the second thing he's asking is, why aren't you doing something about it? Well, we could ask that too. I mean, my goodness, look at the political race. My question is, what are you doing, God? And why are you doing it? But he has his reasons, and I don't know those. So Habakkuk was going through a lot of struggle here, not only within his country with everything that was going on, but also within himself now, because he's the one that's got to deliver this message. In John's book of the gospel, in chapter 16, verse 21, John says, you will have trouble in this world. That was Jesus talking. So trouble shouldn't take us by surprise when it comes. We should know, yes, we are going to have problems in this world. The question is, how are we going to respond? And if you look back there at Brother Habakkuk, he says, I will rejoice. He made a choice to rejoice. I was sharing it with somebody. I may be sharing it with you that I was talking with Tuesday after Bible study. And I said, I can really go crazy with the rhyme in this thing. Because it's a choice to rejoice, or you can choose to refuse, and you can cope and mope with what you're going through. Now, all of us at some time go through situations, circumstances, problems. Some of them of our own creation, some are not. How do we respond? Well, Habakkuk says, you can choose to rejoice. Do we choose to rejoice in our problems? Or do we just look at them, and I'm putting the glasses down. I'm not moving. Oh, he's not over there. Oh, he's over here. Do we choose to rejoice in our problem? James says, count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations, because it develops perseverance, which helps strengthen us. How many people rejoice in a problem? How many people rejoice when their back's against a wall, when a circumstance has hit them or their family, and you can't do absolutely anything about it? What do you do? It's your choice to rejoice, or you can choose to refuse and cope and mope. Now, I've got this problem. God, where are you? Why aren't you here helping me with this problem? I'm wallowing in it, Lord. I don't want to get out of it because I feel like it's comfortable now. Now, this is where I bring a certain young lady up. And you can stay on that floor. You can come up here either way. Come on up here, then. They can look at you instead of me. No, I'm not going to pour it on her. I'm simply going to ask her to hold it. That's all I want you to do. Stand right there and hold it. Okay, back to the sermon now. To choose to refuse means, okay, I accept what I'm going through. And God, even though I know you're there, I don't see you working in my situation. I don't feel you doing anything for me to help me out of this situation. And Lord, I'm going to choose just to feel sorry for myself and just wallow around in this dirt and this filth that I'm going through because I don't feel like you're helping me. What are we saying? We're choosing our situation over God, are we not? God, I know you're there, but I'm not sure you can help me with this. I can share something with you that happened this past week. It involves Sheila Lindsay. Her car was making strange noises. And she was concerned to the point she was looking at buying a new vehicle. She may still be for all I know, but she took her car to the repair shop and the guy calls her back on the phone and he says, the noises it's making are, he did call you, didn't he? The guy goes, the noises it's making are not detrimental to the functionability of your car. But if you're going to sell it, I don't recommend you repair those. Well, that was rejoice time to Sheila. Her car is not as bad as she thought it was. And she sent me a little email telling me about it, and I sent back, God cares about even the little things that touch our lives. The things that we might consider silly. He cares about those things. You know, the fact that Mara's standing over here holding this pitcher of water, he cares that I'm leaving her hanging right there right now. But notice he hasn't stepped in and made her set it down yet. She's still holding on to that half pitcher of water and giving me some looks. So we can choose to roll around in our situation and feel sorry for ourselves. You ever heard anybody? Well, I'm the only person in the whole world that's ever gone through anything like this. Elijah, when he was running for his life from Jezebel, ran and hid. An angel came up and said, what are you doing? Well, that woman out there, she's trying to kill me, and I'm the only one left. To which God stepped in and said, I've got over 7,000 people. What are you talking about? You're not the only one. I've got news for us. In our situation, we're not the only one. My daddy used to give me a saying. I never understood it till I got older. He says, I used to feel sorry for the woman who had no shoes till I met the man who had no feet. It can always be worse, folks. And when we get in it, and we choose to mope and cope with it, guess what? It gets worse. It doesn't get any better by moping and worrying about it and being downcast and depressed, because what you're doing and what I'm doing when I choose to refuse is I am allowing that to steal my joy. And if it steals my joy, guess what goes with my joy? The joy of the Lord is my what?
Strength.
Is my strength. So my strength goes. Well, then I start to become a weaker Christian. When I become a weaker Christian, guess what? I don't come to church as much. I don't read my Bible as much. I don't pray as much. And I don't trust God as much. Oh, is there a problem?
I didn't say nothing.
No? Is there a problem? No? Okay. Don't you love her? I'm the only one going through this. Mara's the only one holding on to this pitcher of water up here all by her little old lonesome self. I'm totally ignoring her. Nobody cares about what I'm going through. pitiful little me. I'm throwing my own little pity party. And you're all invited to join me. Yeah, thank you, Cody. Cody's playing the world's smallest violin up here for me. So I've done all that I can do, and nothing's changed. Did you catch the word there? I have done all that I can do. We're not going to change our situation. Prayer changes that situation. Belief. When Sarah first asked me about praying at 11 o'clock on the dot, she says, do you believe in prayer and laying on of hands? Absolutely I do. I'm an old Pentecostal. Diane saw to that. But I believe in it anyway, because the Bible talks about it. She says, right at 11 o'clock on the button, Diane's up here in the choir this morning going, how are you going to get it in between the songs? Easy, I just stop it. Sandy went right with me. And then for Sandy to come back with that song right after that, beautiful. That's the best I can say. That's a God thing. So, how do we cope? Well, where do I get joy over this thing? How do I choose to rejoice in this? You have to choose. That's how you choose. You have to go, Lord, in the words of Job, no matter what you do, I will serve you. My circumstance is not as important as me staying true to you and serving you. We cannot, we should not allow circumstances to own us. We need to keep going. If you allow them to own you, like I just said a minute ago, you lose your joy, which means you lose your strength. None of us want that, I don't think. Another reason, joy is a gift from God. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy flows from inside out. Happiness is not joy. Happiness comes from circumstances. You can go to a funny movie and be happy. You can go to your mailbox and open up a check for $1,000 and get real happy. But that's not the inward joy of the Holy Spirit. So, how do I have that inward joy of the Holy Spirit? Well, are you saved? Then you have the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have the fruit of the Spirit. If you have the fruit of the Spirit, you have joy. Follow that? You receive the Holy Spirit when you get saved. Period. All these things, Galatians 5:22, go look at them. Fruits of the Spirit that come with him. All of this stuff. You okay?
I'm good.
Okay, good. Continuing. I've only got about another 30 minutes to go, despite what he said. Number two, we need to realize, my voice is leaving. No, we need to realize we are blessed. Oh, I know I'm blessed, Leon. I know I'm blessed. How blessed are you?
Beyond measure.
James 1:12 declares, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. You got that? Because when he has stood the test, he'll receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. How blessed are we? Well, let's look at it this way. Romans 10:12 says this, there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles, for the same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. If you woke up this morning and you had more health in your body than illness, you're blessed. More so than a lot of other people. If you came to church this morning and you're sitting down there this morning without any fear of anybody walking in back there and doing anything, you're more blessed than some people. If you've got food on your table, shoes on your feet, clothes on your body, a roof over your head, you're blessed. The problem is we take it for granted. It's what I deserve. Is it? Is it what we deserve to be so blessed? How many times do you see on TV or do you hear somebody say, the United States throws away more food than any other nation? And look at all the hungry people. Still doing okay? Okay, good. So, you need to realize how blessed you really are. Ladies, this is for you. Guys, listen very closely. I love this girl. Proverbs 18:22 says this. Listen close, guys. Ladies, you'll love me for this. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. The third point is we should commit these things to prayer. Now, she's holding a half pitcher of water over here. I notice she's wrapped both hands around it now. Is it getting heavier?
No.
No? Okay, I should add a bowl of water, Diane. The longer she holds on to this, the heavier it might get to her. She must be really strong. She says it's not getting heavier. But the longer she holds on to it, the heavier it becomes. If I had her hold it out here like this, how long can she hold it out there?
Huh? I don't know.
You don't know? Well, fine. Just stay right there then. This pitcher of water right here is symbolic of our problems. It doesn't matter how much it weighs. It doesn't matter that it's half empty or half full. It's the fact that, no. Keep the arms straight now. It's the longer she holds it like this, it's going to get a lot of heavier. You see her starting to do this number now? You can go ahead and put it. Thank you. Thank you, sweetie. We tend to hold on to what we're going through. And the longer we hold on to that problem, that trial, that circumstance, that situation, the heavier it gets. The heavier it gets, the more it weighs us down. The more it slows us down. And the more it is harder to hold it like this. We can't hold on forever, folks. We're going to break down eventually. And when we break down, guess what the first thing is to go? Our faith. Our faith is the first thing. Old brother Peter. Lord, I want to walk on that water just like you were. Well, come on. It took faith to step out. It took faith to start walking. But Peter walked a little ways, and then all of a sudden he saw that storm, and he started to sink. When we get in our storms, we see our storms. We don't necessarily see the Lord standing there saying, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you, for it is light. Did you realize that burdens are a yoke? You get that burden and you put it down on these shoulders over here. And we try to carry it as long as we can carry it. And we go from here to here because it gets heavier. It weighs us down. It drags us away from what God wants for us. He says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Why should we carry them around? Well, it's mine. I own it. No, you don't. It owns you. Give it up. Turn loose of it. Give it to God. Let him have it. Let him take care of it. Because as you've already realized, it's come upon you. It's already knocked you down some. and there's nothing you can do but cope and mope. There's no joy to you anymore when you make that decision to hold on to it. Your joy is gone. Oh, well, I still laugh. I told you happiness comes from outside. It's the joy from the inside that comes from the Holy Spirit, that comes out of you, that is attractive to other people. Everybody can laugh. They accuse Diana of laughing all the time, no matter what she's going through. They never know what she's going through because she's always smiling. She's been trying to retire now for quite a while. She ain't made it there yet. She's still smiling. But she finally came and said, you know what? It's not my time. It's God's time that I retire. She was trying to do it herself. We cannot do it, folks. We cannot bear our burdens alone. We are to give them to our Lord. He says, I'll take them. I will take care of them for you. You can have them. Give them over to me. Don't lay them down and pick them back up again. I'm going over to 2 Corinthians really quickly. I'm going to let you out of here early, Cody. Cody said we needed to beat all the other Baptists to the restaurants today. Wait till I get him on the mountain. No, he's not. I love you too, brother. Looking forward to having him up there with me this year. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll read this for you. Verses 7 through 10 says this. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Sound familiar? This is Paul. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now he's saying it was given to me to keep me from thinking I'm more than I really am. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said, and these are the words Jesus responded with, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When we're going through something, when that burden's on our back, we're weak. My grace, Jesus' grace, God's grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, Paul says, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Not that I'm tickled to death to be going through this, but the fact that I know God can take care of this if I just give it to him. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. He's strong through the Holy Spirit in him because he took his burdens that he's been carrying for so long and gave them to God to handle. He turned loose of them. My encouragement this morning is whatever you are faced with, whatever you are going through, you're not in it alone. You're not the only person that's ever gone through it. You may feel that way. Give it to God. Truly, honestly, give it to God. I believe in prayer without doubting. If you pray and you doubt, James says, don't expect anything. So you pray believing, giving it to God, just like we prayed this morning. I believe for a good report to come. Will you give your burdens to God? Will you trust him with them? Will you make the choice to rejoice? Or are you going to choose to refuse and cope and mope? Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for the attention of the people. I thank you for Mara who helped me this morning, Lord. I pray your blessings, Father, upon this congregation. Lord, I thank you for this word, and I pray, Lord, that it has gone forth as you wanted it to go forth. Your word declares when your word goes out, it will not return void. And I rest in that this morning, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity again. Bless us now, Lord, as we close out this service to your glory, your honor, and your praise. In Jesus' name, amen.